3 Hezekiah 4. Third Hezekiah, yes. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, I appreciate the Hamas listening to our sermons online, because what they've done last week kind of goes right in line with our series, so it's really appreciated by that. I'm sure they really pay attention. Look at my wife is leaving to watch 2 grandkids. She's already heard me, so I don't blame her. In fact, if we could trade, I wouldn't mind trading her. I've jokingly said that my wife writes my sermons, and a couple of people have actually asked if she did. She did. Our neighbor is one of them. Do you write all his sermons? Okay, so 2 Corinthians 5. Okay, what we've been going through the last few weeks is God's calendar for the future, what he's got going on, so you and I can kind of have foreknowledge. And, of course, we're setting in what's known as the church age, and the church time period is going to get worse. It's going to fall apart. The churches are a mess. Okay, and that's Bible prophecy. That's just the way it goes. And then, so the Lord's got to get rid of the church. He's got to get rid of us. And so that's going to be taking place by catching out. And it's called the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That was first revealed to the Apostle Paul. And then there's several other things that he was given that he started showing to us, born-again believers. And the reason why he has to get us out of the way, because God has unfinished business with Israel. So he set a calendar back in Daniel 9 about the two comings of the Messiah. And the word Messiah in the Old Testament ends with an H and the New Testament with an S. It's only found 4 times in the Bible, 2 in the Old, 2 in the New. And that's referring to Israel. That's how a Jewish person would say Christ. We say Christ, they say Messiah. And so there are 490 years. Jesus put it in a little cliche, 70 times 7. And with that, at the end of that 490 years, that's when the nation of Israel as a corporate body is forgiven for their sins, forgiven for Calvary, forgiven for a bunch of things. Okay, and so that's obviously has not happened. So that's quite obvious. And during that time after they're forgiven, they dwell in safety. So it's not like that today. If you've been to Israel, I've been there twice, you could just sense the tension. It's just always there. So he's got some unfinished business with Israel. So the end. So when the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and I don't know if the Antichrist will be revealed right before or right after or in that range, but then it's going to go into the tribulation time period where everything goes into one world religion, one world economy, one world government. And so that's what's going on here. But born-again believers will be in heaven judged at an event called the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? And so that's 2 Corinthians 5. This is one of the 3 places you can read about it. So what you're actually reading about is how you can prepare. I mean, if you've ever gone to court, you obviously just don't want to walk in unprepared. So you want to be prepared. 2 Corinthians 5 helps us with that. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan." The older you get, the more aches and pains you have, the more you will groan for that. "For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked." Okay, that's not nude. It's just a lack of a certain apparel. So then if you drop down to 6, "Therefore we are always confident that, knowing that, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord." Okay, so now there's a term that's often used in the Bible to describe death, and the term would be depart. Paul said, "My departure is at hand." In the Old Testament, this lady gave birth to a little boy that he's going to name Benjamin, and she died in a childbearing, and the Bible says her soul was in departing. James 2:26 says that a body without a spirit is dead. Okay, so Paul said, my departure, I would rather depart, but it's more necessary for him to be here. So it's like this. If you go to the airports where you used to go to the gates, okay, at the departure gate, you would see tears of sorrow. At the arrival gate, you see tears of joy. Okay, so for the born-again believer, here at the departure gate, there are tears of sorrow, but at the pearly gates in heaven, there's tears of joy. Okay, and actually a person becomes more conscious after they're dead than they are when they're alive, because we're limited to the natural sight. You know, on occasion, a guy smoke a weed or something, he might see something in the natural, supernatural world. Okay, and or seance, you know, like Abe Lincoln and Mary, they had seances in the White House. And so they might have different things going on. But we're limited to the natural world, where when we die, where our body and soul leaves our, when our soul and spirit leaves our body, then we're in an invisible world. So they see both worlds. Okay. And so this one here is getting us ready for that. So once your body leaves, once the New Testament body or soul leaves their body, they're that quick, they're in heaven. Okay. Now some folks believe in soul sleeping. I don't argue with them. I just say, hey, if you want to be Rip Van Winkle, have a good time. You know, just don't wake up in a coffin because you might get claustrophobia. Okay, and so there's some things it's not worth discussing and arguing about. The Bible says you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Man, that's going to be a good deal. Okay, then verse 10. Now here's this judgment seat I was talking about. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now the we would be Christians. You go back to chapter 1 to verify that. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice, not good or evil. Good or bad, the evil was taking place at Calvary. So this is about our service. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This is not persuading a lost person to get saved. This is persuading, encouraging a saved person to do something for Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's an opportunity, as what we do is building some type of a house in heaven, but yet at the judgment seat, we watch that house get burned down. And that's got to be one of the most helpless feelings, is to see your house burned down. Okay, and so that's at the judgment seat of Christ. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So what would be our motive, our driving motive, to continue to serve or walk with Jesus Christ is in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. And then this ministry, verse 18, 19, we're considered ambassadors in verse 20. Ambassadors. So here's an illustration. Okay, if you can imagine, you're in an airplane, you're getting ready to jump out, you know, and you're getting ready to parachute out as an ambassador into a foreign country, and then you parachute out over Saudi Arabia, and your mission is to convert as many to Christ as possible. In Saudi. Be a tough mission, wouldn't it? Be a tough mission. And so that's the mission the Lord has for us. Not to get a notch in our belt of our, you know, the ones we kill, but to convert to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the other place is 2 Timothy 2. So this is just kind of final remarks about the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Okay, this one says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Okay, and then if you cross-reference this to the other location about the judgment seat, it'd be 1 Corinthians 3. So the foundation is a rock, and the rock is Christ. So the foundation is the same for all, and that's sure. Nothing's going to change that. And then he says, having this seal, the seal is the Holy Ghost. You'll find that in Ephesians 1 and 4. And then the Lord knoweth them that are his. You and I may not know. Why? Why does he say that? A lot of people say, well, so-and-so is saved, I know it. How do you know that? You don't know that. I think we're going to be surprised. Okay, Jesus Christ said, those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. So the Lord knows who are his, and that person might know. But I've talked to many people who claim to be saved that maybe made a profession of past and haven't read their Bible, haven't gone to church, and then they will begin to doubt. Why? Because that assurance must be given after someone keeps trying to serve the Lord. You say, are they saved or lost? I don't know. The Lord knows. They could be. They could be. Okay, then he says in verse 20, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay, so if you name the name of Christ, there you go, depart from iniquity. What if a person doesn't? Next verse. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So if you walk through your house, you're going to have some objects in your house that are honorable. You will shower honor upon these things. It might be a picture on the wall. It might be your family picture. Somebody comes in your house and says, look at this. This is my family and all that stuff. That's something of honor. Okay? And then you have something of dishonor. I really highly doubt that anybody comes in your house and you take a tour and say, look at this toilet. That was invented by the Polish, and then the French put a hole in it. I mean, that's how that goes. Okay. Brother Tim, you like that one, huh, that Polish one? I had a Polish friend growing up, and he changed all the Polish jokes to Dutch jokes, and we would just laugh and laugh and laugh. Had a good time with that. Okay, so, I mean, you wouldn't do that. It is a vessel of dishonor. Now, I hope you have a vessel of dishonor. Okay, but it's not something we brag about. Now, the highest ideal vessel is in next verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, purge himself from what? Iniquity. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. This is not dealing with justified. Sanctified, meet for the master's use and prepared on every good work. Now, that is a vessel that is useful, prepared, sanctified, and honored. Now, your picture on the wall is honored, but it's what's use of it? It catches dust. Okay? In our house, I would say it's our kitchen table. It's a beautiful table. It's useful. My wife and I, five days a week, we play Rubik's Cube as we're eating. Okay? And so it's useful. It's nice. It's sanctified. It's honorable. And how can a person be like that in heaven? Purge yourself from iniquity. Now, that's your choice. Now, personally, okay, person says, well, I'm just glad I'm saved. Well, I would rather be a toilet in heaven than a throne in hell. I mean, that's sure going to be better. But what if we can give something back to the Lord? And I would dare say we'd want to do that. Like one evangelist, an old-time evangelist, said, I would rather know my ABCs and go to heaven than to know Greek, Hebrew, and Latin and go to hell. And there's a lot of that. So, okay, so that's the church age, and that's the judgment seat of Christ. So that would be taking place in heaven. How we know that is right before the Battle of Armageddon, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb, and the wife has made herself ready. So that means that the church had to go through the judgment seat in order to be ready. And so had to make herself ready. And then right after that wedding, there's going to be some pretty good special effects taking place on earth. And that's called the Battle of Armageddon. But before that, we'll backtrack and let's come back down on earth during the tribulation. God dealing with Israel. Okay, God dealing with Israel. This stuff going on right now, I would say, is just a precursor, just a little warm up. Okay, Israel pretty much can take care of themselves, but a lot of people have different viewpoints on Israel, and I would dare say some Christians might need to adjust their viewpoint of Israel because they don't consider the infiltration of Israel. Okay? Remember when Israel came into the land of Canaan, there were a bunch of people squatting on the land, the Canaanites, and the Lord had to kick them out. Okay, and then they got their nation and they tried to clean the place up, but there were still some giants left around that they still became a thorn in their side. And then it got to Ezekiel, and right before Babylon came in play, when Babylon came in play, then Israel lost their sovereignty, then it went to Media Persia, then Greece, then Rome, just as the Bible predicted. And then, lo and behold, in 1948, probably one of the greatest miracles since the resurrection of Christ, this little puny, one-fourth the size of the state of Indiana, has enemies all around it that hate them, just amazingly, and there they are. Isn't that something? Right there. Why? If you would look in Ezekiel 5. The Bible has some fascinating miracles that are unexplainable. Science cannot explain it. Reason cannot explain it. Ezekiel 5, verse 5. Now, this was written about 2,600 years ago. It's a guy named Ezekiel, and it's still in play. This is still in play. Okay, Ezekiel 5, verse 5. And the context runs down to 12. Actually, the last one is 11 in your Bible. You might have paragraph marks. Okay, and it says this. Thus saith the Lord, this is Jerusalem. Okay, this is true. Now, at that time, Jerusalem was smaller in landmass than Lowell. Smaller than landmass than Lowell. How do you know that? Well, you just go there and see the old city walls. You can walk around it in an hour and 15 minutes. Okay, and it's right there. And you can feel the tension. And if you look at some of the stones, you can see where a shootout took place here and another shootout here. And you might see a couple soldiers walk around with automatic weapons on their side, and you go around the Temple Mount, and boy, if just somebody goes nuts, you could be right in the middle of a shootout right then. So he says, this is Jerusalem. He says, I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. There's no explanation for that. And she, oh, this is quite a comment. She, Israel, Jerusalem, hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations. And my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. So that's the Muslim. They've changed stuff worse than Islam. Now, I know Islam wasn't in play there, but the spirits were there. And it says, they have refused my judgments and my statutes, and they have not walked them. Thus saith the Lord God, because ye multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgment, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee. And the Anti-Defamation League would say, oh, that's anti-Semitic. That's the God of the Bible. I'm against thee, and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of all nations. And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all thine abominations. Now, if you want to read some of their abominations, you can go up to Valpo Library, and there's a section called the Talmud. It's about 24, 25 volumes. Who's going to sit down and read that? But I could give you certain places to read that are absolutely pervertish of what they desire to do to little children and approve of it. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Okay? And so this is the Talmud. The Talmud would be the commentaries on the Old Testament. When Jesus would say, ye have heard it said, he's referring to the Talmud, but I say unto you, he's referring to the Scriptures. Okay, so I mean, really out there perverted stuff. Okay, then he says this, therefore the fathers, here's what's going to happen.
Therefore, the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee. And the sons shall eat their fathers. Oh, wow. Did that happen? Yes, about 586 BC. The Babylonian army surrounded this little town, this little city. For 18 months, they ran out of food. Little kid dies. Instead of burying the little kid, they cook him up and eat him. This happened many times throughout history. Okay? Lamentations describes it. It describes it. Okay? Why? The Lord has some business to deal with Israel. So he says this, "And I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee shall I scatter unto all the winds." Okay, now the remnant is key. Okay, for the believer, my wife mentioned this week, we need to be praying for the 144,000. That's the remnant. But about what all about Israel? I don't know about Israel. Because there's fake Israel, and there's true Israel. There's a fig tree Israel, there's a vine tree Israel. Just like we have in our country. Okay, a real, you know, a real nation, United States of America, and a corporate United States. Got the same thing. It's how the devil deceives people. It's how he hoodwinks them. Pray for the remnant. Pray for that remnant. And he mentions that. Okay, then he says, "Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God." Now, when God says something like that, he has taken an oath. He's raising his right hand, swearing. And when God does that, that is an inflexible statement. There are some things in the Bible or with God that he is flexible with, where you and I can pray and have influence and appeal to God. But when he says, "As I live," that's nothing's going to change that. And he said this, "As I live, saith the Lord, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things." What did they do? They brought Baphomet in, the goat head, the inverted goat head. Brought him in the Jewish temple. And their flag, what is their flag? Is that the Star of David? No, that's the Star of Solomon, which is the Star of Rimfan, a pagan deity. That's the fake Israel. If the true Israel would have had a menorah on there, because that's Israeli culture. So you got the same thing going on in there, detestable things. They are the major owner of pornography throughout the world. Okay? And it gets worse than that. Detestable things. "With all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall mine eye spare, neither will I have any pity." Now he said that 2,600 years ago, there was an immediate fulfillment with Babylon, but it's going to be worse in the trib. Soon to come up. It's going to be bad. Amen. Okay, why? Well, they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." They said that. So that's Jerusalem. So this stuff now with Hamas and company, that's just that. That's just a little bump in the road for them right now. You see, right now, probably 15 to 20%, probably tops 20% in the world kind of approve of what Hamas has done. Because you take about 2 billion Muslims, and not all of them agree, but they're afraid not to disagree because it's a religion of terrorism. So you're taking 15 to 20%. The Bible says that the entire world will be against them. So that means, I don't know what's going to happen in the United States. Something's going to happen. Okay, well, I'll give you a scripture for this. Okay, if you would, run to Revelation 12. Revelation 12 lays out the chronology. And from the believer's standpoint, I think the launch is soon. Sooner the better. Okay, now if you run down Revelation 12, you'll see in verse 3 and 4, there's a red dragon. Okay, there's a red dragon, and then he grabs a third of these stars. Okay, and I do believe that's still future. I think there's a third left he's going to take with him. Falling star, wish upon a star. Be careful about wishing on those stars. And so then they're going to come down and be giants. You know, these 12-foot skeletons creep me out. We got one down in Rensselaer for a short bit. They had a skeleton with a cage and a little kid inside. Now, they did take it down, but it's like, are you promoting this idea? Is it just fun and games? That ain't fun and games, my friend. There are real creatures like that that do exactly that. As if we believe the Bible, but I know a lot of people don't read the Bible. And they see that stuff and they think that's figurative. But it's not. Okay, but you got that red dragon there in verse 4. And then he is looking to devour a man-child from a woman. The woman is Israel. Okay, and the woman flees into the wilderness. That would be Saudi Arabia. That's where they marched through the land for 40 years. She has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 days. That's verse 6. So that's 3.5 years. 30 months in a prophetic calendar. Michael shows up, verse 7. He's like the soldier for Israel. You'll find that in Daniel 12. He fights the devil. And now the dragon is kicked out of heaven down to earth. And then 1 Peter 5 says he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And if you want to see a symbol of that, look at an Alfa Romeo car, an Italian car. It's got a cross on one side and on the other side a reptilian eating a person. There we go. Italy, Rome. Wouldn't that be a real uplifting thing for your car? Who does stuff like that? I mean, it's right there in front of us. It's all around us. It's just a matter of, are we paying attention? So then in verse 9, it says that the devil is going to deceive the entire world. The entire world, okay, is going to stand against Israel. So now with today, maybe 20% are standing, want the Hamas, maybe up in Dearborn, Michigan, you know, up there, you know, they're playing the mosque and they got the eerie music around Dearborn, Michigan, and people are excited. But 80% of the world's thinking, man, you just aren't real bright. Okay, and so in the trib, it's going to be 99 point whatever. Okay, so we're not there yet. Okay, that's Revelation. And if you keep running down Revelation 12, the woman in verse 14, or verse 13, the dragon persecutes the woman. Okay, so that's worldwide killing of the Jewish, going after the Jewish remnant. Okay, that's the idea there. And then in verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to war with the remnant of her seed. So that's the real Israel. The remnant's the real Israel. Okay, and so that's about that. Now, if you want to go backwards, Zechariah. Yeah, who? Zechariah. Where's that one at? Well, it's a Z, so it's at the back of the Old Testament, back of the alphabet. So the Z, even though it's got an M, the last one. Zechariah 12. The way I remember the two Z's, Zephaniah and Zechariah, they're not alphabetical order. Zechariah 12, verse 3. And this is going to be, this verse is going to be significant when we discover the judgment of the nations. It says this, and in that day. Now, in the Old Testament, you read that, you're dealing with second coming, tribulation, second coming. He says, in that day will God will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. So Jerusalem is going to become a burden for all people. They're going to be sick and tired of the media talking about them. They're going to be so upset with their said, just quit talking about them. But there's going to be some people here and there who have a heart that wants to reach out for the oppressed here, the Jewish people. Now this says, if they do that, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. It's like the Corrie ten Boom family during World War II. They had a heart to help out the Jewish people. But then her dad and her, I think all three of them were in concentration camps. Her dad and her sister died in the concentration camps. Here, they just cut them in pieces. You see, this is why the Muslim faith is migrating throughout the world, even where there's no Muslims. And we saw a mosque down in Santiago, Panama. No Muslims there. Why do they do that? Well, what is the mode of death, of execution in the tribulation? It's the beheading. What religion does that? So they got to infiltrate. They were infiltrating this all around the world so that they can complete this judgment. It's all part of God's plan. It's exciting. It's powerful. Man, he's got power. The Lord's got power. Okay, if you're in Zechariah, go to 14, if you would. Same chapter, Zechariah 14, 2. In verse 1, it says, the day of the Lord. So in case somebody's watching the news all the time, you're scared. Hey, turn on channel 66. I mean, this is where the real news is at. Right there. Okay, so Zechariah 14, 2, he said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem battle. They don't have that now. Don't have that now. They're going to. I don't know where the United States are going to be. Now, United States as a people, the United States as a people, side with Israel, but there are some at the top that don't. FDR did not during World War II. He did not. Now, the people did, but he did not. And the powers that be. He said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Okay, let's try, if you go backwards a little bit further, Zephaniah 3. Here, this is a prophecy of 2,600 years ago of the United Nations. The United Nations, about a year ago, somebody kind of jumped the gun. Some staff member at the United Nations, because they put a statue in front of the United Nations building. It was a leopard, that was a bear, that was a lion, like Revelation 13, 2. They had it right out front. And I think somebody said, yeah, you kind of jumped the gun. And they had it out there for, I don't know, a month or so. It's back in someplace hidden. But they're given their real desires there. That's exciting. I mean, all this stuff is exciting for the believer. Zephaniah 3 verse 8 is the Old Testament prophecy of the United Nations, the UN. Okay, the UN, that means usual nonsense. So Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. You see how it's spelled, P-R-E-Y? For my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms. That's why it's called United Nations Assembly. Okay, now, my disdain for the United Nations Assembly is not my fault. When I was a little kid, we'd be traveling across State Road 10 there, and about a half a mile east of I-65, somebody put a great big billboard and said, get us out of the UN. Now, I was a kid. What's that mean? Huh? What's get us out of the UN? And that seed kind of sprung in my... I don't know if John Bircher put that up, but it was there for a long time. And we'd drive by it. I'd see, what's that mean? Okay. And so it's not my fault. I don't know who did that. Zephaniah 3 verse 8. It says, why is the Lord assembling them together? In the middle, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. How's he going to do that? We could go back to Zechariah 14 if you want to see how it's written. Some type of nuclear fallout. Some type of electronic... electronic magnetic weapon, directed electric weapon, electronic weapon. You know, that's why you want a blue house or something. Doesn't seem to work there in Hawaii if you got a blue house. Zechariah 14:12. What's this sound like to you? And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Kind of sounds like Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm melting. You know? Okay, another place, Isaiah 34. Buy into the Bible, fascinating book. I just find it so fascinating. Isaiah 34. Now, I'm thinking about putting a track on this one, Isaiah 34. This, God wants everybody to read this chapter. Saved, lost, male, female, black, white, brown, purple, pink, polka dot. He wants everybody to read this. He wants everybody to know this, Isaiah 34. Verse 1, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear. If I was invited to the United Nations, I would read this to them. And then I'd have my life insurance policy paid up. And then my wife would live high in the hog after I get... Okay, so come near, ye nations, ye hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that therein, the world, and all things that shall come forth of it. Okay, so we got it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. He's mad. God's mad. And his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Now, the writer is pushed after the Armageddon, looking backwards, because the writers do that. Then he says in verse 3, their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. That's a King James only word. And a mountain shall melt with their blood, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall roll together as a scroll. So the firmament opens up. You see the Lord Jesus Christ in the throne. The kings of the earth come out of their underground, deep underground military bases. And ask the rocks to fall on them because they hide them from the wrath of the Lamb who's come. And we're going to be in heaven watching this. Saved people are going to be in heaven watching this. Man, you talk about some special effects. And all their hosts shall fall down, and the leaf falleth from as the leaf falleth from the vine, and a falling fig from the fig tree. Okay, and the place is called Idumea. That's modern day Jordan and north part of Saudi Arabia. And verse 6 it says, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. See, he's upset about that. The streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone. I have some of that brimstone at home. Sodom, Gomorrah. I've been to Gomorrah. Found little sulfur balls about that big here and that big. Got some in my home. Put a match to them. It's blue like a cutting torch. Man, that's sulfur. The land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. The Lord wants everybody to know that. It's the lowest place below sea level. The brutality of the Muslims in Israel now is really, it's uniting people against them. But the Lord's going to have to do a work, and he's going to do this work. What is the motive of them? If you would go to Ezekiel 35, the Bible tells us the motive, and it makes no logical sense, none whatsoever. And you would think a mother with her child. What kind of a mother would take her little child and then watch them drag a soldier down the street to brutalize their body? What kind of a mother would do that? Possessed woman. In Malachi 1, 3, and 4, it says that Edom is a habitation of dragons. That's why that behavior is there. They're infested. In Ezekiel 35, Ezekiel gives the reason. Okay? You'll see, if you kind of scroll down there, verse 2, Mount Seir. Mount Seir is a mountain in Jordan. And he says in verse 4, I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Why? Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. In the time that their iniquity had an end. Therefore, as I live, when the Lord makes this statement, nothing's going to change it. And if you drop down to verse 11, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy. Envy. There's their sin. You talk about people that hold a grudge. 4,000 years ago, there's a little boy born to Abraham called Ishmael. And then 13 years later, a little guy named Isaac. And God said the promise is going to Isaac. And the descendants of Ishmael have been mad ever since. Okay, and then Isaac has some twin boys, you know, Jacob and Esau, and the promise goes to Jacob, not Esau. Esau becomes Edom, so the Edomites and the Ishmaelites are the ones that's mad. And they worship many, many gods, but then Muhammad comes along and he chains them all. We're going to worship one God, the God Allah, who's the moon god. The moon god. I got a weird sense of humor, but I can see a statue of the moon god. You know, Muhammad. Okay, but yeah, that's what's going on. They're envious. Envy is the reason why the Jewish leadership murdered Jesus Christ. Pilate said, I knew, and so why? They got to suffer the same consequence. Suffer the same consequence. Brother Paul, you got that one, huh? Getting a visual of that one. Okay, and so, yeah. So this stuff that we've been watching, you know, people see in the media, I don't keep up on much of it, but everybody wants you to know about it. It's just a warm-up. It's just a warm-up. Man, the Lord is laying everything out. But somewhere along the way, sadly, our country is going to turn against Israel. If the Bible's true, I believe it. Even though we got a wonderful Christian heritage, this is the pressure that's being placed on our nation. The pressure on America is just unbelievable. The pressure on the family in our country is really massive. Who would have thought this transgender stuff would explode the way it is? Who would have ever imagined that? Well, there are certain passages that show that. And so the Lord's still got a plan, and we're waiting for the shout. Man, we're pretty close. Amen. Man, looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. And then the Lord picks up where he left off with Israel. He's got a few short years to deal with them. And then the Jewish remnant's going to be forgiven. And we go out into the greatest show on earth. Man, I don't know about you, but that sounds exciting. This book foretells the future. This book gives you the news before the news took place. That's what it does. Fascinating book. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that this might relieve if anybody had fears about what's going on. Man, it's got to play out. You got it playing out. And when we see the great prophecies of the Bible, and we see so many of them, this should definitely increase our faith in the other places of the Bible. What a fascinating book. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to rejoice in thee and help us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and especially for that Jewish remnant that is going to win, witness, and deliver the gospel of the kingdom throughout the world during the tribulation. And they're going to reap souls from every language, every tongue, every people. Even though the Antichrist will deceive the vast rest of them. I just pray you'd help us to love you more because of this, admire you, to be in awe of your words. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.